Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Broken Hill Hurt by Sheridan Anne. Narrated by Stephanie Bentley. Chapter 1. I push back from the table and fly out of my seat as I save my phone from being drenched in Jesse's caramel latte. It's all over the table, quickly spreading.
Fuck!
Jesse grunts as everyone scrambles for their belongings, not wanting to risk them being covered in the yummy goodness. I mean, I love that I've gotten Jesse addicted to Carter's Coffee House, but sometimes his carelessness is not always welcome, especially now as the latte begins to dribble off the side of the table and hit the floor, making it splash up against my legs. Nate grabs someone's car keys as Brooke starts throwing napkins at the brown liquid, but her aim is shocking, and they go everywhere but the spilled drink. Damn it, why couldn't he have spilled it when it was nearly finished? Instead, the latte was scalding hot and as full as can be. People are rushing around, and the table looks like a coffee massacre, especially when Briley knocks over her drink in her haste to save her purse. All of this within the space of 3 seconds. I quickly realize that the 4 napkins Brooke is throwing down on the table aren't going to be enough. We're going to need some paper towels, cleaning products, and probably a mop. I step back and my legs instantly get tangled with my chair and my handbag at my feet. I start to fumble as I lose my balance. My arms begin flailing around as my torso wobbles back and forth. Hell, I'm sure I'm even pulling one of those faces you see in slow-motion videos when people are about to eat dirt. There are too many bodies moving around and nothing to save my fall. With my chair right behind me and my body weight thrown to the side, there's literally nothing I can do. I'm going down. Hard.
Fuck!
I screech as I fall. My hip catches on the edge of Nate's chair, and I feel a sharp pain ripping through me. I crash down to the ground while knocking into Nate and sending him flying forward towards the table. Caramel latte drips off the table and lands on my face as Nate flicks himself around and gapes at me on the ground. I clench my eyes together and squirm myself away from the hot drink. Holy fuck, that hurt. Nate is there in the blink of an eye. He hooks his hands under my arms and pulls me straight up off the ground.
Fuck, babe,
he says with wide eyes as both Jesse and Elle's booming laughter rebound off every wall in the room.
Are you okay?
I mentally check myself as coffee drips off me. I must have only been down for a fraction of a second, but it was enough to cause some damage. My hands hurt, my head hurts, my right knee hurts, and my hip stings like a fucking bitch. I cringe as I try my best to tune out their laughter. Reaching down, I pull the hem of my shirt up and get a good look at my hip. Fuck. Nate curses as he takes in the instant bruise that has begun spreading over my hip. Nate rubs his thumb over it, and I shrink back. Don't! I cry as the pain brings tears to my eyes. I try to blink them back, but they're here for the long haul. It hurts! I look up at him to see him trying his hardest to hold back a grin. It's not funny! I demand, yanking myself back out of his hands as the first tear falls.
I'm sorry,
he says as his grin widens.
But it kind of is. I mean, you went down like a sack of shit.
Thanks, I grunt, pushing myself back into my chair and ignoring the spilled drinks covering the table. That's Jesse's fuck-up, so he can deal with it now. I'm done. I try to relax into my chair, but the pain in my hip is just too much. Nate's grin disappears as he takes me in. He crouches down before me, and I can't help but pout out my bottom lip. He raises his hand and places it against my cheek.
Do you want me to get ice?
He questions as I lean into his touch. No, I sigh as everyone continues fixing up the mess around us. It'll be fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I say, looking up at the worry in his eyes. Can we just get out of here? He cringes before looking down at his phone and checking the time.
I don't know, he says. I think we should wait a little while longer.
I let out a heavy sigh and nod my head. Nate and Jesse's dad is officially moving out of their home today, and while that's the best news to hit the face of the earth, it's not exactly something the boys want to be home to witness. Caden Ryder will be moving in with Kelly Riley, the woman he's been having an affair with for 18 years. He knocked her up at the same time he knocked up Trish, and instead of doing the decent thing and coming clean to his wife, he lived a life with both families. Kelly had a daughter, Phoenix, who, might I say, is an absolute bitch and lived her life knowing all about Trish and the boys. Caden bought her a house, funded her life, played daddy to Phoenix, and went on constant work trips, which I'm pretty sure is code for spending the night with my other family. Phoenix is one of the many cheerleaders at Broken Hill High, and up until 2 weeks ago, she was the captain. She was demoted after it came out that she seduced Jesse and slept with him. Apparently, the whole incest thing got shrugged off and only frowned upon because it was Jesse, and to the cheerleaders, he and Nate are the ultimate prizes. I mean, their priorities are seriously fucked up. Jesse still hasn't been able to get past that one, and I don't blame him. If he had known they were half-siblings, he wouldn't have done it. He would have run for the hills at the first sign of flirting. Instead, she tricked him into bed, and he will have to deal with that for the rest of his life. I mean, at the time, she was just another score. How was he to know she was messed up? Though I have to admit, as awful as it is for Jesse, I'm just glad she didn't set her sights on Nate first. I wouldn't be surprised if she tried, though. Ugh, my skin crawls every time I think about it. She's so gross. She should have been arrested for that shit. What's worse, the whole school knows about it, and Jesse has been getting into a few too many fights lately. Naturally, he wins every single one, so people have backed off, realizing they're going to get their asses kicked for even thinking about it. I lean back in my chair and let out a huff. Nate gives me an encouraging smile and squeezes my hand before turning around and helping everyone fix up the table. Though, not much needs to be done now as the barista has come over with some sponges and a mop. Everyone moves away from the table and takes over another, while Jesse remains and helps the guys finish up. Brooke drops down beside me and reaches for my shirt. She pulls it up a bit and practically shoves her head in my vag as she gets a look at my hip. "Shit, Tor," she gasps. "You got your hip good." "I know," I groan as I push her back and reach forward to grab my latte, which thankfully wasn't spilled everywhere. I cringe with the movement as I settle back into the chair and bring the latte to my lips. I take a sip and let the yummy goodness take my troubles away. How is it possible for this to be so good? She agrees as she takes a drink of her own coffee. "I've been needing this all day." "I don't doubt that," I laugh as I watch Nate across the table talking with Maxon. "You drank way too much last night." "Don't remind me," she groans, probably remembering the way she threw back shot after shot of tequila. I mean, the old saying, one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, floor, was definitely put into practice last night. And I can proudly say, she absolutely killed it. Though, I don't know how she's even walking this morning. "I'm never touching tequila again." "Right," I scoff with a chuckle. "I've heard that before." She bumps my shoulder with hers. "Shut up." "Hey," a familiar voice says from behind me, making all eyes at the table lift. I turn around to find both Courtney and Briley walking through the door and heading over here. Courtney's eyes instantly flick towards Puck, who sits with his casted arm resting on the table, as Briley looks around at everything else. "What the hell happened here?" she questions, taking in the barista helping Jesse with the mess. Puck scoffs.
"Jesse?"
"Ah," she laughs. "Enough said." The girls pull up chairs and dump their bags before heading over to the counter and ordering a coffee each. A smile spreads over my face. I absolutely love it when my girls hang out with my boys. It's like my two worlds colliding and making something beautiful. A few short months ago, these two groups wouldn't have been seen dead together. I hated Nate with a passion, and his friends were considered douchebags. They were a group of dickheads, and they didn't care who they hurt. While most of that is still true, I've also learned that underneath their douchebaggery ways, they're some of the best guys I'll ever meet, and now my girlfriends know it too. So much, in fact, that Brooke has been dating Max for a few months, and Courtney is desperately pining over Puck, though I don't really know what's happening there. Briley and Courtney return to the table a few minutes later with a plate of French fries that makes my mouth water. They sit down, and I find it impossible to take my eyes off them. Would you like some? Courtney laughs as she grins across the table at me. I thought you'd never ask. I reach over and grab a handful of French fries off the plate before annihilating them and reaching for more.
Jesus,
Nate grunts, making me look up to notice the sparkle in his eyes.
If you were hungry, you should have said so.
I scrunch my face up at him, but all he does is grin and shake his head as though he finds me amusing. A moment later, he gets up and walks over to the counter before ordering me a bowl of my own. I get the warm fuzzies when he does stuff like that. I absolutely love it, especially when he leans up against the counter and looks back at me with a smirk, making my panties disintegrate. God, I love him. I don't know how I spent 5 years hating him. He's the best thing I never knew I needed, and the way he loves me makes me feel like the only girl in the world. It's incredible and all-consuming. I wouldn't have it any other way. The guy hands him the bowl of French fries, and he takes it with a mischievous gleam in his dark eyes. Oh, dear God, I know that look. I narrow my eyes on him and wait for whatever game he's about to play. He walks forward with his eyes on me, and the excitement bubbles up within me as our friends remain completely oblivious to what's going on between us. He plucks a French fry off the top and... Wait, is that gravy? Damn, that looks so good. He raises the gravy-covered French fry to his mouth and bites down before licking his lips. Holy crap, that was hot. The French fry disappears, and I don't know whether to be cranky that he's stealing it or jealous that it's not me all over those lips. I go with cranky. I want those French fries. He takes another. Nope. I push myself up out of my seat, this time being a little more careful not to faceplant into the ground, as I'm sure there's no way I'll be that lucky again. I mean, I'll probably end up needing some sort of plastic surgery if I was to go down a second time. I step out from the table and watch as he tightens his hold on the bowl. A wicked grin takes over his face before the laughter spills out. There's only one thing on this earth that Nate loves more than teasing his brother, and that's teasing me. Nate, I warn as I walk towards him.
Yes?
He questions like an innocent little boy. I raise my chin to him, letting him know I'm up for a challenge in the same way I used to. Only before, it wasn't fun. It was never fun. Things have changed, and because of him, I've grown one hell of a backbone. I think you have something of mine.
Really?
He asks, taking another delicious gravy-filled French fry and slowly raising it to his mouth.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I come to a stop right before him and look up into those dark, smoldering eyes as he raises the bowl of French fries way above my head. You dare eat that French fry, Nathaniel Ryder, and I'm going to rain down hell on you. His eyes bore into mine, studying me and trying to work out my game plan. But joke's on him. I don't have one. His eyes tease me as the French fry gets closer and closer to his delicious lips. I suck in a breath and watch as it disappears. My eyes narrow, his raise, my knees bend. He nods. I charge. I push myself into him, but two big arms wrap around me from behind and pin my arms to my sides. Let me go, I demand as Jesse's booming laughter rings in my ear and Nate's grin triples in size while they gang up on me. Jesse lifts me so my feet dangle off the ground, and I do my best to get myself free, but probably look like a fish out of water.
I thought you'd learned your lesson by now,
Nate taunts as he eats another.
Remember, I always come out on top.
I can't help but grin back at him.
Really? Because last night I got the impression you loved it when I was on top.
Nope,
Jesse grunts behind me as he releases his hold and lets me drop to the floor. He looks up at Nate as I steady myself.
I don't want to know. You're on your own.
With that, he walks away. Nate steps into me, still with the French fries far out of my reach, and leans in so his lips hover just over mine.
I fucking love you,
he murmurs, for only us to hear, before his lips press down. I kiss him back and melt into him. His free arm wraps around my waist, and he pulls me in hard against him. I feel his phone vibrate in his pocket, but he ignores it to kiss me again.
And I fucking love it when you're on top. But just so you know, when it comes to you, I'm going to take you any way I can.
I pulled back with a smile from ear to ear. You're so romantic, I tease.
Shut up.
He laughs as he brings his hand down and finally hands me the French fries. Though, not before stealing another. I take them greedily and watch as he digs in his pockets and pulls out his phone. He checks his message and an excited grin takes over.
Fuck yeah,
he grunts. What is it? I question, biting into a French fry.
He's gone. Dude,
Tyson says as he walks past us.
You should at least pretend to sound upset about it.
Maxon scoffs.
He's excited because it means he can go back home and start working on the Mustang.
Now it's my turn to scoff. You mean now he can use the extra space for the stupid car lift he bought last week? Nate grins like a kid in a candy shop.
It's not stupid.
Of course it's stupid, I laugh. The car doesn't even have an engine yet. Or wheels.
But it will.
He beams with pride. He bought his new Mustang 2 weekends ago, and since his dad has been packing all his things, all the boxes have gone straight into the garage, leaving no room for Nate to start working on the car. He's been moping around like someone stole his puppy. It's sad, really. But now that his dad is gone, that's going to change. I can already see that it's changing.
Come on,
he says, taking my free hand.
We have to go.
What? I grunt. Can't I finish my French fries?
Bring them with you,
he says, walking to the table and grabbing my phone and bag.
Where are you going?
Jesse says.
Where do you think?
Nate says.
This Mustang ain't going to build itself.
Jesse rolls his eyes but grabs his phone off the table.
All right, I'm in. Yeah, I'm down,
says Puck as he also grabs his things. Max and Tyson follow as the girls start looking around, wondering what the hell is going on.
This isn't a group project.
Nate scoffs with an amused grin.
It is now.
Puck grins as he walks towards the door.
I'm thinking red.
Nate starts shaking his head, horrified by the idea, even though it's blatantly obvious that Puck's teasing him. I mean, everyone knows black is Nate's color. His clothes, his car, his heart. Well, at least his heart used to be. I like to think it's all fluffy and warm now. He's like winter, cold as fuck on the outside, but the second you step inside, it's toasty warm. Nate follows Puck out the door with me in tow, and before I know it, we're all out the front of Carter's Coffee House, watching Jesse try his hardest not to allow Nate to steal his car keys, though we all know he's going to fail. Nate can't stand not driving. We drive down the long driveway to find Trish standing out the front, waiting for her boys. I smile as I look at her. I've never seen her so carefree. She's in a dress, but not her usual type of country club dress. This is flowy and floral. Her hair is down and she's wearing pink lip gloss, and man, does it look good on her. I look to Nate as he watches her. His eyes are hard, but I know he sees it, and I know he's happy. Who wouldn't be? His mom has put up with so much BS from Caden Ryder, and now she's finally free. And what better time to be free? She has 2 perfect boys who are going to show her that her best years are still ahead of her. Nate brings Jesse's Range Rover to a stop and presses the remote control for the garage. As it raises, we all get a good look at the new family member. An old Mustang sits before us, desperately begging Nate to bring it back to life, which I have no doubt he will do in a big way. Nate gets out of the car, and with an excited grin on his ridiculously handsome face, he walks straight for it. Chapter 2. As I drive into the parking lot of Broken Hill High on Monday morning, I find nearly the whole school crowded around the front of Jesse's Range Rover. I drive as quickly as I can without hurting anyone and bring my R8 to a stop beside his car. Even this close, I still can't see what the hell is going on. All I know is the second I open the door, the noise instantly assaults me. I grab my bag off the passenger seat as Brooke pulls her car in on the other side. I get out of my car as she does, and our eyes lock over the top. What's going on? She calls over the sound of the crowd. Hurrying, I shrug my shoulders and barge my way into the throng of people. I don't have a good feeling about this, especially as Nate was with Jesse this morning. People push and shove as they try to get a look at what's happening in the middle. Though, when someone cheers for a fight, it becomes pretty damn clear. My stomach drops, and I shoulder my way past a few more people. I break into the middle to find Nate and Jackson, face to face, with a circle of footballers around them. I scan the faces and find Jesse barricaded behind them as he desperately tries to break through their circle. Jackson hasn't been back to school since Nate blew up his car 2 weeks ago. And what I also found out by accident last week, he also knocked him out, too. I thought he'd just beat him up a little. Turns out it was a bit more than that. Today must be his first day back, and he's not happy about everything that went down. But like Nate said, an eye for an eye. Jackson caused the accident which destroyed Nate's Camaro that he worked his ass off on, so Nate simply repaid the favor. This shit should be over, but from the look in Jackson's eye, it's only just begun. Anger fires up within me. How dare they do this to him? Jesse is screaming as Nate's fists begin to clench. I know he's only moments away from throwing a punch. The only problem is that Nate is on his last warning, and Jackson knows it. It won't take much for Nate to be expelled for violence, and I'm guessing that's Jackson's game here. I desperately look around. I have to do something to help him. Max, Ty, and Puck aren't here, so it's up to me. But how the hell am I going to break through this circle of football players? They're 3 times the size of me. I'd have a better chance of convincing Jesse to shove a pole up his ass than break through this wall. An idea strikes, and I roll with it without thinking. I grab the bottom of the shorts of the footballer in front of me, and with one quick tug, I rip them down his legs and expose his white ass. He shrieks and instantly dives for them as people around us begin to laugh at his expense. I'd love nothing more than to stay and laugh with them, but I have another ass to save. As the footballer bends to grab his shorts, I make a break for it. I run and half-jump, half-squish through the bodies of packed muscle and tear my way into the circle. Someone reaches for me, but I don't let him get his fingers around my arm. Nate and Jackson are too caught up with their desperate need to kick the other's ass that they don't even notice me until I race forward 2 steps and push myself between them. I bring my hands up and slam them into Jackson's big chest, forcing him back a step. "What the fuck is this?" I demand as I scowl at the hothead. I expect Nate to wind an arm around my waist and haul me out of the way, but when he doesn't, I realize he needs me here to defuse this situation. Otherwise, he'll be walking out of here with an expulsion that he can't possibly worm his way out of. Jackson scoffs as a pleased smirk sets itself across his face.
"Are you fighting your boyfriend's fights now? What's wrong? Don't think he can take me?"
I scoff right back at him. "You and I both know that's not my problem," I remind him. "Nate can kick your ass with his eyes closed. In fact, isn't that what he did only 2 weeks ago?" I grin, airing his little secret that has somehow managed to stay quiet. "I wonder, is that why you haven't been around for the last 2 weeks?" Murmurs start to rise through the crowd as a deep anger sets itself in Jackson's eyes. Nate hooks his finger through a belt loop on the back of my jeans and pulls me back into him. Jackson's eyes narrow on me before he somehow manages to get closer without taking an actual step.
"Watch it,"
he warns. Nate yanks me back even harder.
"You threatening Tora now?"
he demands, a clear challenge in his voice.
"Wouldn't dream of it,"
he says.
"But remember, whatever shit she wants to start is going to come down on you."
"Are you fucking kidding me?" I yell, trying to get into his face, but Nate's hold on me is far too strong, especially as his hands ball into fists while his fingers are still looped through my belt loops. "What are you going to do? You had to bring," I quickly glance around, "7 others to come and confront Nate. Not to mention, you bombarded him first thing in the morning before his friends were here. You don't have the balls, Jackson. You're nothing. You paid off Haven Falls guys to beat the shit out of Puck instead of facing him yourself."
Jackson's jaw clenches as his hands ball into fists. To anyone else, he'd be terrifying. But I see him for what he is, a coward. I step into him, and this time, Nate lets me. But he doesn't remove his hold from my jeans for even a second.
"You're chicken shit," I tell him. "Nate and the boys scare the shit out of you, and that pisses you off."
Jackson gets into my face.
"You don't know what you're talking about."
"I do," I tell him. I know that you put this elaborate plan into place knowing that Nate has no choice but to back down. He'd look weak in front of all these people, and even if he tried to swing at you, these guys would have stopped him within seconds. You would have walked away the hero. But you're not. You're a fraud.
You think I'm a fraud?
He scoffs. How many examples do you need? His eyes narrow, and I start listing them off. You switched schools halfway through the season to be on the winning team. You rammed Nate's car because you knew you couldn't beat him. You paid off some losers to beat up Puck rather than do it yourself. And now this? Every single time, you have lost. Now isn't going to be any different. Back off while you still can.
You about done?
He spits. I raise an eyebrow as my mouth pulls into a straight, unimpressed line as I feel Nate at my back, shaking with anger.
Get out of my way.
When I don't move, he turns to one of the football guys.
Move her.
The guy looks to me and then up to Nate with hesitation. I don't move my eyes from Jackson. You forget where you are, I tell him. Look around. While you may go here, this is still our school. Outside your circle of football players, every single person here would have Nate's back. Every single time. Hell, most of the football players would probably have Nate's back, too. This isn't a fight you're going to win.
Fuck this.
Nate sighs as his patience runs out. He hauls me behind him before throwing himself at Jackson. His shoulder rams into Jackson's stomach, and they fly back into a wall of football muscle. Everyone goes fucking nuts. People cheer. People shove. Girls scream. Phones are pulled out. I look around, frantically trying to find some way to stop this. I see Jesse desperately trying to break his way through the circle. He's my only choice. Apart from the fact that a teacher is bound to come down here eventually, and hopefully the boys will be here soon. But until then, this shit needs to be put to rest before Nate causes any damage. Jesse's eyes catch mine for a fleeting second, and I race forward. There are two guys holding him back, and if I can at least distract one for a second, Jesse can handle the other and get to Nate. So, I do what any other desperate woman in my situation would do. I knee the fucker in the junk. The guy goes down with a cry of pain, and I briefly feel bad for him before remembering that Nate is in trouble. Jesse shoves the other guy hard and instantly races forward, making all the football players go after him. Shit, this is not a place I want to be. The circle quickly grows smaller, and just as I predicted, everyone else jumps in, having Nate and Jesse's back. People are prying footballers off my boys, while Jesse tries to get Nate away from Jackson. Though, I'm pretty certain I see Jesse throwing a punch, too. It's turning into a freaking brawl, and all I know is that I can't be here. But with so many bodies around, I'm trapped. I'm pushed from side to side as I try to scramble my way around. I hear other girls screaming, terrified of being hit, while some, a little more brazen, try to get in on the action. Tora? I hear Brooke's voice screaming out over the brawl. Brooke? I yell back. I spin around, desperately searching her out, and instantly get an elbow slammed back into my cheekbone. I cry out in pain. Immediate tears sting my eyes as my hand slaps across my face, trying to take the pain away. Fuck, my face feels broken. An arm wraps around my waist, and I'm pulled against a hard body before the guy starts barging his way out of the crowd. I look back for Nate and find Jesse on top of him while Puck has a go at Jackson. Though, with his arm still in a cast, I'm not sure much is happening, but it will go a long way in making Puck feel better. I look up at the guy pulling me out of the fray and realize it's Tyson. The boys must have gotten here just in time. Actually, scrap that. They should have gotten here 10 minutes ago when all of this bullshit started. I mean, that would have saved us all a shitty start to a Monday morning. Tyson breaks free of all the bodies and releases me before diving straight back in. Another body slams into me. Fuck! Brooke cries. Are you okay? She grabs me by the shoulders and pulls me back before gasping in horror. Your face! I put my hand up to where it's still stinging and bring it back to find it covered in blood. Shit! I groan. Someone got me with an elbow. Her eyes well with tears, and she goes to say something as a bunch of teachers and coaches come rushing in to break it all up. The coaches start blowing whistles and tearing kids off other kids.
The assistant principal comes tearing down the hill with a hose, and Brooke and I watch on with wide eyes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?